Good evening. It's great to be back again. And if you were here this morning, you'll recall that we studied about ourselves. Do we listen to God when He speaks? Tonight, we want to flip that around. Does God listen to us? I know sometimes there are things in this life that might cause us to ask that very question. Things are not going as well as we would like them to, and we wonder, is God there? Does He really care? Does He really want to listen to what I have to say? Well, I believe to begin answering this question tonight, let's turn to Psalm 61. Because there you'll find that David expresses a very similar sentiment. It is interesting to note how David begins this psalm, but also how he concludes this psalm. And that's what I would like to focus our attention on tonight. Psalm 61, beginning in verse 1. We read this. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name. You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. You'll notice the attitude that David has as he begins is a plea that God indeed would listen to what he had to say. You notice he said, hear my cry, attend to my prayer. Is that the way we often feel? There's someone I need to talk to, and who can I depend on to listen to what I have to say? Sometimes our family or our friends, others that we are in daily contact with, may be too busy. They may seem disinterested. They may not really care one way or the other. But David had a trust. He knew that God does care, that God was indeed willing to listen. And verse 5, he says, that you, O God, have heard my vows. When David made a vow unto God, God understood that. He heard exactly what David promised to do, and he was going to hold David accountable. And as David concluded this psalm, he said in verse 8, that I may daily perform my vows. You notice that David knew that God would listen to him, and he also must do what God wanted him to do. That begins an important connection. God is willing to listen, but we must be willing to obey Him. There is something that sets God apart from the many false gods. If you were to go through the entire Bible, read about idols and images, things that were made out of wood or stone or gold or other things, you know just as well as I do, there is something that God can do that no one of the others ever could. In the book of Revelation in chapter 3, there in verse 20, we find exactly what it is that it sets them apart. We find what it is that God can do that nobody else can do. Here we're told that idols cannot see. They cannot hear. But God can see. God can hear. He has the ability to do what nobody else can. And as we find that God is willing and able, He also wants to prove to us that He can answer us. When you look in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 18, you'll remember that one of God's own prophets had a contest. A contest there on top of Mount Carmel. 450 prophets of Baal were gathered together to have a standoff, to see who is, in fact, the one and only true God. And as the course of the action unfolded, we find that there were those that cried out to Baal, "Baal, hear us." They began to shout louder and louder. They began to cut themselves more and more. But of course, Baal could not hear them. And finally, when Elijah has had enough, he cried out just once to the one and only true God. God was willing indeed to hear him. God was willing to answer him. God sent down fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice that was made, the water that surrounded the sacrifice and even covered it. Thus, God shows that he was willing and able to hear. Now, because God is willing and able to, does not always mean that he will. In fact, we find certain conditions existed throughout Scripture in which God would not hear. One such instance was found in the book of Zechariah. There in Zechariah chapter 7, if you would like to turn with me, we'll find one such condition that God gave of why he would not hear certain ones. In Zechariah chapter 7, there beginning in verse 8, here is what Zechariah has to say. The word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plant evil in his heart against his brother." But they refused to heed, shrugged their shoulders, and stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it happened that just as he proclaimed and they would not hear, so they called out, and I would not listen, says the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with the whirlwind among all the nations which they had not known. Thus the land became desolate after them, so that no one passed through or returned, for they made the pleasant land desolate. Does that sound like what we discussed this morning? It is our obligation to listen unto God. And here God plainly says, because you did not listen to me, I am not going to listen to you. If someone has to make a change, it's certainly not God, because God is perfect. God is complete. Our sins have separated us from our God, the prophet said. We are the ones that have moved, not God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of our sin, we become separated. God would not hear. In the New Testament, the Gospel of John, chapter 9, and in verse 31, John makes that very, very clear. He says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." John said it very clearly. If one continues to live in sin, God does not listen to him. Do we not find that over and over throughout the Old Testament? Didn't the children of Israel follow God for a while and then turn from him to serve idolatry, to serve their own lusts? And what happened when they did? God gave them up, didn't he? He allowed others to come and rule over them. And things would happen that they would get so distressed, so discouraged. Things would be so bad that they would cry louder and louder unto God. And then God would do something about that. But why would God listen then and not before? What was different than what the people did at the end rather than the beginning? Well, in order to transition from why God will not hear to why God will hear, let's look back at John chapter 9, verse 31. God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. You think there was a change of mind? You think there was a change of heart? That people were willing to turn back to God? To worship Him and nobody or nothing else? That they were truly willing to do His will? He is the one that is willing to hear. The one that is willing to help. But we must be willing to go to Him. And if we're going to do His will, it makes sense then that we must know what His will is, doesn't it? How can we do what we're supposed to do if we do not know what we're supposed to do? Well, there was one such individual that is a good example of this. This individual can be found in the book of Acts, chapter 10. Here in Acts, chapter 10, we read about one individual that did not know the will of God, but yet was willing to learn it, to hear it, and to do it. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 1, we read there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man, and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people, and prayed unto God always. You know, so far we hear pretty good things about Cornelius. But as we continue to read, there is something that we learn that Cornelius has not done. Cornelius has not yet become a Christian because he does not know what to do in order to be saved. But we're told in the third verse that about the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And he will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. And when he explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. You see, there was something that Peter knew that needed to share with Cornelius. There was something that as of yet Cornelius did not know. And as soon as he was told to go and send for this man, he went out and sent for Peter. He didn't wait. He was eager to find out what it is that God would want him to know. As then, as the chapter unfolds, the men come to Peter's house. They find him. They begin to send him back to where Cornelius was. We find, skipping down to verse 24, that the following day, they entered Caesarea, and Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. What does that tell us? Cornelius was ready. He wanted to listen, to hear what God had to say. And not only himself, but he invited anyone and everyone else that he could find. They were ready. And then Peter began to teach them about Jesus. Peter began to tell them there is something, yes, that they must do. And while he was speaking in verse 42, he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. Well, do you think that Cornelius then believed in Jesus Christ? Well, he certainly did. Because in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out upon the Gentiles also. And they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who had received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they asked him to spend a few days. The word came to Cornelius. Cornelius was willing to hear it. He was willing to do what God said. And God answered his prayer because he knew Cornelius truly wanted to know. Cornelius truly wanted to do what God wanted him to do. Does that apply to you and me today? Are we willing to listen to the Word of God? And when we find what the Word of God has to say, are we willing to do it? You see, if we are, God is guaranteed to listen to you. This is also what John has to tell us even today. In 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 14, John writes, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." John says, yes, God hears us. He is willing to listen if we ask anything according to His will. Cornelius wanted to know the will of God. Today, we must want to know God's will, and we must want to abide by God's will. I believe it was mentioned a little bit this morning. "Lord, if it is your will, let this cup pass from me." Isn't that the way Jesus prayed? And certainly, He was heard. Jesus was a good example of keeping the will of God. Yes, God hears those that are willing to keep His commands. Just a couple of chapters earlier in the book of 1 John, in chapter 3 and in verse 22, again John said, "Whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." If we do what is best to please God, if we are willing to keep His commandments, yes, God is willing to hear us. And as we said, Jesus Christ is the best example of this. Just as He prayed before His crucifixion, He was willing to allow His will to be the same as that of His heavenly Father's. But there was another occasion in which Jesus plainly said that He knew that His Father hears Him. And that occasion was at the death of Lazarus. If you'll recall in the Gospel of John, there in chapter 11, Jesus said very plainly that it was good that Lazarus were to die, because then the power of God could be seen through him. And as he went to the tomb with those, of course, that were weeping, in verse 38, Jesus was groaning in himself. He came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. He said, "Take away the stone." And Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said unto him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead 4 days." But Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me." Jesus acknowledged His Father has heard him. Martha and others that were near would hear that Jesus knew his Father was willing to listen to him. But why? Look at verse 42. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who were standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Sure, Jesus was about to raise the dead. People would believe that Jesus was sent by God from his heavenly Father. And if God were to hear Jesus, certainly he has the ability. He is willing also to hear us. But is there something special because Jesus was God's only begotten Son? Well, if you think about yourselves, if I think about myself, can't we all become children of God? Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 that we are all sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And we talked about this morning in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 that our faith comes from hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It's all connected. We listen to God. We do what God says. God is willing to listen unto us. A common example is in the Gospel of Luke. Here we find the first chapter, a certain man that was willing to pray unto God. And Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, we read that in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the division of Abijah, his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both well advanced in years. So it was that while he was serving as priest before God in the order of his division, according to the custom of the priesthood, his lot failed to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people was praying outside at the hour of incense. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. And your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." Interesting connection, is it not? His prayer had been heard. Notice that a few verses before, in verse 6, we're told that they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Think there's something to that? Find the connection that if we're willing to learn the will of God and to do it, God does listen. God does answer prayers. Sometimes it seems like that maybe God does not hear us because he does not answer our prayers right here, right now. He doesn't answer them in the way that we want them to. But you know, God does not always work as we expect him to. The Bible clearly says that his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. He is so much more powerful, so much more knowledgeable, and that can see ahead when we can only see right here and right now. We cannot lean upon our own understanding. Instead, we have to trust in God to direct our very steps. Sometimes, if we were to direct our own steps, it might lead the wrong direction. Just as we hinted at the children of Israel time and time again, they deserted God to do their own thing. But you know, when they came to the realization that they were wrong and God was right, God was willing to listen. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 2, there at the conclusion, in verse 23 of that chapter, here's what the Bible says. That it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out. And their cry came up to God because of the bondage. So God heard their groaning. And God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. God heard their cry. He was willing to deliver them. And if people had forgotten about this very instant, years and years and years later, perhaps Stephen was the very one to remind them of this. In Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was beginning his discourse, preaching to the people about God and His love for mankind from the very beginning, and ultimately through His love of sending Jesus Christ, he refers to that down in verse 34. He says of the words that the Lord said unto them, I have surely seen the oppression of my people here in Egypt. I have heard their groaning and have come down to deliver them. And now, come, I will send you unto Egypt. Then he added, this Moses whom they rejected, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge, is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He brought them out. After he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness 40 years. Can you imagine where Stephen was about to go? If God delivered the children of Israel from their oppression, just think about you. How are you being oppressed? Don't you think that God is willing to lead you out? That God will save you from your sins? If we're willing to repent and turn back unto God, God is willing to listen unto us. We find another example of this was that of Judah. In the Old Testament, remember how Israel and Judah were divided? There for a long time, Judah had fallen away, had become very, very wicked. But yet, later on, there was a time in which they were willing to turn back unto God. The prophet Zechariah wrote in chapter 10 and in verse 6, the words of the Lord. He says, I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph. I will bring them back, because I have mercy on them. They shall be as though I had not cast them aside. For I am the Lord their God, and I will hear them. Later in chapter 13, and in verse 9, again he said, I will bring the one-third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. You know, that applies for us even today. Each one of us can cry out to God. He is willing to answer us. He is willing to call us His people. And we must be willing to say, the Lord is my God. God is able and willing to listen. He will hear you if you are willing to do what He says. If you listen to God and allow your will to be the same as His will for your life, yes, God indeed is willing to listen. This evening, only you can say you're ready for the Lord to listen to you. We're about to sing a song of encouragement, and if there be one tonight that needs to respond to that invitation, we invite you to come as together we stand and sing.